No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tame,
tame it to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Keith. We are your crew today for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Now, we're going to kick off today's flight plan with a friend of Keith. Now, Keith, you met this guy, what, in some kind of training session you were doing in St. Louis? Is that the deal or what?
Well, it was a training session that I was in charge of.
Okay.
And that's where I met Derek. Yes.
All right. So you met Derek. Derek, welcome to Just Plane Radio. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me today.
You got it. Now, so I don't know, lay the groundwork for Derek there, Keith. How do you know this guy, and what does he do?
Well, I met him when he came into the training class, and mm-hmm. I asked everybody to introduce themselves. He gave me a little bit of background on what he does, and I think it's really interesting, and I think it's a great deal for people out there, and just wanted to share a little bit about it on our show so that other people could find out about it. Because he works with, not necessarily underprivileged kids, but high school kids that wouldn't necessarily be able to afford or have the ability to learn how to fly, and that's what he does.
Well, that sounds
and
nice.
So, Derek, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about, your program and how it got started and so forth.
Yeah, well, what's the name of it first, Derek? Well, let's get that out there.
Well, I work with Avanis World Aviation.
Okay.
They are a mission organization. They do humanitarian work all around the world.
Yeah.
And they have a real desire to make training affordable and available to absolutely anybody that wants to be able to do it.
Very nice.
And
so is there like an age limit, or is this something that could be applied to me, or what?
Actually, we have no age limit, but where our focus is the high school student. So we have a training program at Thunderbird Adventist Academy in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Yeah.
Where we train high school kids to get their pilot's license.
Well, okay.
How about if you're a 50-year-old male?
They can identify as a high schooler?
Or who never made it through high school.
Well, we do count on some of our community folks to be able to come in, because they do help us keep the costs down, because mm-hmm. keeping our airplanes flying.
Right.
Where it's completely set up, though, for high school kids that just never would have ever had an opportunity to be able to fly an airplane. Mm-hmm. When I was in high school, I went to a high school in Pennsylvania, and there was a little grass strip. And we had a Cessna 150 sitting there, and it was Niner 197 uniform. I remember that to this day. Red over white. The thing was beautiful. I loved it.
Yeah.
And I got a call one night from a friend of the family, and he said, "Derek, I've talked to your parents. I've talked to the school, and my wife and I would like to sponsor you to get your pilot's license."
Hmm.
And that's how I got started. I got started from a generous person when I was in high school that decided they were going to sponsor me so that I could get my pilot's license while I was in high school. And so I had Avanis World Aviation call me up, and they told me this dream that they had of starting a flight program at a high school where we would be able to teach kids how to fly and be able to do it in a way that you just don't see anywhere else.
So how do you get the funding for this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, one of the big ways we do it is through donors. Our airplane, we have a 1976 Cessna 172N, and that was completely donated to us. We have our own fuel truck where we are able to get fuel delivered, so we're able to cut the costs on fuel. That truck was donated to us.
Wow.
We have a worthy student fund that we have set up where people can come, whether it's alumni from the school, whether it's just someone who's passionate about seeing young people learn how to fly. and people donate to that Worthy Student Fund. And I actually have one of our, we have the first student that's received the scholarship with us today. Her name is Melanie Ramirez. Why don't you say hi, Melanie?
Well, hello there. I'm Melanie.
Hi, Melanie. How are you?
Hi,
welcome
Melanie
to Just Plane Radio. So you're a pilot now.
Well, Melanie is a senior. Well, she actually just graduated from the school this year.
Oh, okay.
We got the Worthy Student Program set up this year. So she wasn't able to get finished, but we're still working with her to get her done.
Okay.
So but,
the goal is to get
about 20 hours.
Okay. Yes.
Before she graduated.
All right. So the goal is though to get them through the entire program, or just get them started, or it just depends on the student, I guess.
It depends on the student, but the goal is to get them their private pilot's license.
Got it. And this is in Scottsdale, Arizona, where the high school is based out of, or where the program, or both,
yes,
or what?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's there in Scottsdale, Arizona. The school actually has an awesome history. They actually used to own the Scottsdale Airport, and they ended up giving it over to the city so the city could take care of it. But we have perpetual access to the airport, so we don't have to pay anything in order to use the airport. Our airplanes are on our campus, and we taxi across the street right onto the Scottsdale Airport.
Sweet.
We have our own taxi.
Oh, that's awesome. And then once you get these kids certified, which would, I mean, you talk about an extracurricular activity, or you know, something you got to stay after school for. This is awesome for sure. What is the goal after? I mean, obviously you went through a kind of a program back in the day, and you're kind of paying it forward is what it sounds like to me, but once they become a private pilot, is there are you just trying to open up a new career path for them, or what's the deal exactly?
You know, this is one of the most awesome parts of the program is the possibilities they have afterwards. Because of the organization that we work with, Avenis World Aviation, they have a partnership set up with a couple universities that actually will give free college credit to the kids that go through our program. So not only are we saving them, it only costs them, if they were to pay for themselves to get their private pilot's license at our school, it would only cost them $5,000 to get a private pilot's license. That's 50 hours of flying for $5,000. So we're saving them a ton of money, about $10,000 at our school. And then when they go to move on, they get free college credit for what they've done, which turns out to be another huge savings in a college scholarship.
And that would be a college, a scholarship or a program in commercial airline training, I guess, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Or something
yeah,
like
they could do,
what
they
Keith
could do commercial.
Teaches.
They could do commercial airline training. They could do humanitarian work. They could join up with Avenis World Aviation and go to Guyana or go to the Philippines, go to Nicaragua, and do medical relief work. That's one of the dreams Melanie has, actually, is to go overseas, to fly into these little villages and provide medical care to people who never would be able to get it any other way. And that all started from a dream in high school and a Worthy Student and a generous donation given so that she could realize the opportunity to learn how to fly.
Nice. So
that's awesome. Now, is there an application that they have to fill out or something? How do you pick who gets to go through the program? Who gets the scholarship?
Well, when I joined, I just went into school, I just grabbed my schedule, and I signed up for aviation. And once you're dedicated into the class, you do your times, and it's just an amazing experience overall. You just need the will and the interest to do this awesome thing.
Nice. So it's like a elective kind of thing, it sounds like.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then as far as the Worthy Student Fund goes and the scholarship, we picked some of the most dedicated and the most we have them write an essay, and then that essay goes to Avenis World Aviation. We look at it and we look and see, you know, why does this person want to learn how to fly? Is it something that we see a deep desire in their heart to be able to do? Is it something that they need help to be able to get to realize that goal, which the majority of our students do.
Right. So it is kind of, it's set up like a scholarship kind of thing, yeah.
How they're doing in ground school, make sure that their grades are good and that they're participating, And that's how you get the ability in order to get the Worthy Student Scholarship. So it doesn't go to just absolutely anybody.
Yeah.
We definitely want to see that desire and that fire in their heart for aviation.
You got to weed people out like me. I understand. So, you know, they can go to a website, I assume, and get more information about this program you have in Scottsdale, Arizona, or what?
If you go to flyawa.org, it tells you all about what AWA does. Has links to our school in Scottsdale. They actually have two other schools that they run, one in Pennsylvania and one in Tennessee. You get links to those different places. That's where you can make donations. If you have an airplane that you no longer are flying and you want to donate that, I mean, we're a full nonprofit, so we're able to do all the tax receipts.
That's probably better than donating it to me. So, Derek, it sounds great, but look, we got to go. More coming up on Just Plane Radio. Stay close.
All right, thanks for having us.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Attention pilots, stay connected while off the grid with the Spot Gen 3 satellite GPS messenger. Right now, get a Spot Gen 3 for half price. The life-saving device every pilot needs is 50% off. No matter where you go, the Spot Gen 3 allows you to contact your family, friends, and emergency personnel with just the push of a button. Go to findmespot.com/plane to learn more and get 50% off. Spot Gen 3, 3,500 rescues and counting.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I was flying. Of course I was flying.
I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith. And we've been, we've recruited some additional help here. Because obviously, God knows, Keith and I need it. And what better person to add to the crew would be Abington from the Abington Watch Company. She's on Just Plane Radio with us as well now. Abington, how are you?
I'm doing great. I've missed you guys.
Yeah, well, back at you. I'd much rather have you than Keith on. But, of course, you two would rather have each other on and me not here as well. So I guess it's all a wash. Is that fair?
Exactly. So why don't you just sign off?
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, I know, Abington, you've been up to a lot of crazy stuff in your recess here from or your reprieve from the show because you've been doing, like, some kind of crazy flight training it's even beyond acrobatics. It's Well, what are you doing exactly?
Well, so what happened was last Sunday, and I'm completely blanking on the date, June 7th was my anniversary with my fiance, with Sean. So he, as a gift, brought me out. Total surprise.
Hey,
down
what,
at
what happened to me here?
Well, I'm just saying.
We'll get
I'm
to you saying, in a minute. I have a feeling there's a connection here. Just hang in there, Keith.
But so we went down to Henderson Airport, and there's a company in Las Vegas called Sky Combat Ace where you can fly in extras and go dogfighting and do aerobatics and do low-level flying through the canyons and
drop
bombs
on people that you don't particularly care for. Now that's the connection between Sean and Keith. You hear what I'm saying, Keith? They were training to take you out, I think, or something. But no, it's like some kind of...
I can understand Sean's point of view there.
Yeah, exactly. but you're dogfighting in airplanes, in acrobatic airplanes, right?
Totally, yeah.
That is crazy. I saw the video from the organization out there in Vegas that you do, and these planes that you're flying are what again? What type of plane? What is it called?
They're extra 540s.
Okay, so and that's like a FAA certified trainer acrobatic plane.
It's basically when you watch like Melissa Pemberton and you watch, you know, some of the major aerobatic airshow pilots, they're all in extras. It's one of the most high performance aerobatic airplanes out there.
So you can flip, you can go upside down, you can do loop-de-loops, the whole thing, everything you want to do to make your puke. Pretty much you can do in this
plane,
right? So but what I didn't get when you were telling me about this was the dogfighting part of it. So you take two planes up, so you and your fiance are up there in the plane and you're shooting each other down. Now something sounds amiss. You hear what I'm saying? So you need to fill in the blanks of how that particular activity works. So you follow me?
Well, let me explain it to you.
Okay, Keith, what do you know?
Sean is learning how to drop bombs to try and take me out. Abington is learning how to dogfight to take him out. That's, I mean, how simple can it get?
Oh, okay.
Come on, Greg.
Yeah.
We thought you were smart. Well, no, we didn't. But, I mean, we thought you would have gotten that.
Yeah, me and a high schooler. That's about as high as it goes. But, all right, well, I don't know. Is this electronics where you guys line each other, you know, in the scope or whatever? Because I saw the video and, like, you line them up and they're like, kill, kill.
Yeah, basically, yeah. You hit the guns and if they start blowing smoke, it means you hit them.
So, but who blows smoke? Is it like set, like some kind of, I don't know, the laser tag?
You do an awful lot of it, Greg.
Yeah, well, that's true. But but is it like a laser tag kind of thing in the plane that's set up that does it electronically? And if you line it up, it actually triggers a smoke bomb in the other plane and that's how you know or what? Or is it not that advanced technically?
I don't know if it's that advanced technically. I honestly couldn't tell you because after we dogfighted, I don't know.
Yeah.
But after we did it, I was so in love with it. And mind you, I got to throw this out there. I did win the dogfight 2-1. I shot him down twice. He only shot me down once. Now, victory comes at a high price because I also did get sick in the airplane, but I don't care. It was so worth the victory. But once we got on the ground and I was able to actually stand on my 2 feet again, I just told the owner, I was like, I love this so much. It was so much fun. He's like, well, we're hiring pilots. Would you like to train to learn how to do this? And I was like, are you kidding me? So I have my first day of training on Monday, and then I'll find out all the trade secrets.
So sweet. That is so cool. Have you ever done anything like that, Keith?
I have not.
Have you ever heard of anything like this?
I've heard of it, but I've not done anything like this myself, but I think I have an in now.
Well, you might know somebody. Well, I guess we'll find out next week, right? So, I mean, how does this work, Abington? They're going to, like, take you through the ropes and say, okay, let's make her do some more flying, see how much she's going to puke, and if she gets past a certain threshold or gets her air leg, so to speak, maybe we'll get her into the program. That's what they have to, you know, put you through the ringer first, you think, or do you know?
Yeah, it's all run by ex-Air Force fighter pilots. So they told me that about 40% of even the Air Force fighter pilots, they all get sick off the first, you know, 5 or 6 flights. Mm. So I fall right into the majority. So it's not like it's, about half of them.
Yeah.
So I'm really not deterred by it at all. I'm sure I'll get a stone stomach by the end of it. And then as long as I, you know, as they're telling me, like, if you wash out, you know, we've got a high attrition rate and we've got this and that. And they're kind of scaring me because they are very, very military based. But it's because of the safety. You're putting customers in the airplanes and letting them fly hardcore aerobatics. And you've got to manage the plane, at a split second. You have to know what to do and do it right. There's not a lot of room for error for this.
Yeah. Well, it's one thing to teach someone acrobatics in an airplane, a second one to teach acrobatics and how to shoot down another plane. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In this mode of state of the world that we're in, that would be a trick in itself, I guess. That's but it sounds like a blast. And I guess, does it make noise too, or are you sitting there in the cockpit going yourself? What's going on there exactly?
I don't think that's she was doing in the cockpit.
Well, in between.
I think she was doing something more like.
That was pretty good, Keith. That was almost too real. But I don't know. Do you make noise? Does it have like guns in there making racket? Or you just have to do that and fill in the blanks with your own mental deficiencies, I guess, in my case?
No, you don't really hear any like gun sounds or anything. You do have a trigger. So, as long as I'm looking to line them up in my crosshairs and follow them. So that's what I'm focused on. I'm not really focused on any, and you're so fast and you're accelerating stalls. You're, doing high performance aerobatics, loops everywhere, trying to catch them. They're trying to get out of your way and then you're trying to lose them. It's intense. It's super, super intense, but it's a lot of fun.
Well, what was the maneuver that finally did you in as far as the airsick thing?
It's not the maneuvers. The maneuvers I'm actually fine with because I've done some aerobatics before. But it's looking, and I had an air show pilot teach me this. Her you might know her name's Jackie Warda. She does a lot of performing around the country. And she said people only get sick in an airplane because they look at where an airplane has been, not where it's going. So if you ever feel sick, look out the front window. Don't look out the side. And I've lived by that. But when you're dogfighting, you're having to look all over. You got to put your head on a swivel stick and find out where the other airplane is, or else how are you going to fight them down?
Or they're going to get you. Yeah.
They're going to get you.
I hear you. All right. Well, this is kind of cool. I like this. I think I might have found a new thing to add to my repertoire of flying. Keith, you think?
No.
I had a feeling he was going to say that. More coming up.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings. Can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith. And we also have Abington from the Abington Watch Company helping us out today. So she's getting ready to go into acrobatic dogfighting training or something crazy. We're going to hear all about this in the future, assuming you don't get shot down by, somebody. Just for fun, if it could happen. live virtually. You talk about it's like playing Xbox for real or something. You know what I'm saying? This is like the real deal for adults. You know, we're not kids. We use real airplanes and get them in our crosshairs. And I don't know. There's something a little demented about this, too. But it's very appealing. You know what I'm saying? I know you know what I'm saying because you love it. Right?
Yeah, I'm totally loving it. I can't wait to start training.
Yeah.
So did they offer Sean a position as well?
No.
How did he take that exactly?
No, well, they didn't offer because he's so busy being an examiner and being running a flight school and everything. They were like, we're not even going to try. No.
Right. Yes,
well, you know, what's really funny, actually? Yeah. I don't know if I should spill these beans, but, I was with one of the pilots and then he was with another one of the pilots. And the pilot he was with, he actually ended up failing him on his CFI check ride. So that was kind of an interesting, emotional. I don't know.
No, hold on. You mean Sean was giving him his CFI check ride and he failed the guy that was showing him in the acrobatic plane?
Like a year ago, that was, one of the pilots, he's one of the best pilots too at Sky Combat Ace, but he took his CFI check ride with Sean like a year prior or something, I don't know, however many months, and he actually failed on the first run, which is not untypical for doing check rides with Sean's. He's kind of known as one of the hardest examiners in Vegas.
Yeah.
He actually, it's just because people don't show up prepared. It's really interesting. We can have a whole other debate about exams and how check rides go.
Sean didn't get airsick though, did he?
No, he did not. Really? And he did way more aerobatics while I was sitting there puking.
So the guy was trying to pay him back, but he just couldn't get past Sean's iron stomach. So
pretty much.
That's what it sounds like to me. All right, we got more aviation news coming up next. Stay close to Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Colonel, with all due respect, that new jet is a death trap.
It's the 1950s. Everything's a death trap. Now have three martinis, a pack of smokes, and get in that plane.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. FTPros.com if you want to go fly with Keith. But you'd probably rather fly with Abington. So you'd have to look her up at the Abington Watch Company. And I don't know, maybe soon to be acrobatic fighter pilot. I don't know. What, when you get into that position, is that what you become? I mean, you're going to learn the same skills as a real fighter pilot, right?
I am. Yeah.
That is so cool. I mean,
I get a call sign and a flight suit and everything.
Yeah. Are you going to use the same call sign as before, or you got a new one in the works?
They name me, so I really have no say in the matter.
They name you after they see how you're flying. Like it could be, Chunkster or something like that, depending on how you perform, I guess.
Yes.
Okay.
As long as the story is only 10% true of how the name comes about, then yes, that's whatever you get named.
Fair enough. All right. Yeah, we could share mine, but then we'd get kicked off the radio. So anyway, let's talk about some other stuff, because there's a big air show going on this weekend. I believe it's tomorrow, and you're going to be a part of this as well, right?
Yeah, it's not actually an air show. It's an air race.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. It's the oldest air race in the country. It's the Air Race Classic, and it used to be known as the Powder Puff Derby. So it's the all-women's air race, and it's starting in Fredericksburg, Maryland, where I am. Last night, we just had a fantastic clocktail party, since the Abingdon Company is the official watch of the air race.
Nice.
And so we always start off the air race, getting everybody a little smashed and loose. So we had a great cocktail party last night, and then tomorrow everybody launches.
All right, so you get them socially lubricated and then throw them in a plane the next day and they race. Is that
it's hilarious? Pretty much. It's hilarious because at the party everybody's like, oh, super friendly, and then tomorrow morning it's like, get out of my way, you know, and they're cursing at each other like, get out, I gotta fly. And so
hardcore.
They're no longer friends until the end.
The Abington Watch Company is one of the sponsors of this event. Do you participate as well? I can't imagine you just sitting on the sidelines for something like this with all the crazy stuff that you do, whether it's shooting down planes or just doing some flight training or something.
Yeah, I have wanted to do this race for so many years, and I have had something happen every single year. So it just hasn't been in the cards yet, but it's definitely not off my radar. I will do it. This time I wouldn't be able to do it because I'm going to be dogfighting training on Monday. So
Right. Okay. Yep. So this starts on Sunday and goes for a few days then, or how does it work?
Yeah, it's typically a 5-day race. It's only VFR. And if you go to the website airraceclassic.org, you can see the route. It's always transcontinental. So this is an interesting one. I'm going to be really curious about it because it starts in Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Yeah.
And then it ends in Fairhope, Alabama. And it goes all the way up to Kalamazoo, Michigan, as far west as Kirksville, Missouri, and Lawrenceville, Illinois. And so it seems like it's doing a big giant star over the southeast,
yeah.
Which if there's a weather system that comes through, a lot of these racers are going to be grounded. So I'm really going to be following the race pretty closely this year because it's a really interesting course.
Interesting. And as far as how they do it, they time each leg, or is it like a dog fight on each leg, which would be much more entertaining to watch? Or
way more entertaining. No,
but I'm guessing it's timed, right?
It's timed, and it's based off of the handicap of the particular aircraft.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've actually followed some of that stuff. But that one used to be called the Powder Puff. What was it?
Powder Puff Derby.
Powder Puff Derby. But they've changed it just to Air Race Classic to kind of make it more, I don't know, universal for, I don't know, opening it up to, well, I mean, can guys do it, or even metrosexuals, or no? Is it just purely, it has to be female pilots only?
Isn't it, what is Jenner's new name? Is it Caitlyn?
Caitlyn Jenner. You might have to look at that category now. I don't know.
She might be able to participate if she were a pilot.
Well, what about Keith? Keith would kind of, sometimes he falls in that category, don't you, Keith?
Greg, there is nothing feminine about Keith.
I mean, just the voice, you know. I mean, how can you get anything feminine out of this voice?
Well, we call him Keith. You can call him Caitlin. I don't know. That's just something he told me before the show, and I'm not going to judge. I'm not, you know, but whatever, it works, I guess. But no, but this one is gender specific just for the women pilots. That's right.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's all good. And by the way, you haven't done the race before either, but it's something that kind of like you're going to check this off eventually someday when you can get the planets to align. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, definitely. The first year I tried, the owner of the airplane took it for one last flight before he handed it over to us. We were going to fly a Cirrus, my race pilot and I. Mm. And on that last flight, he ran it off the runway. So our airplane got totaled like 2 days before the race, which was horrible.
Yeah, that can't be good.
Yeah, the second year, my race pilot got pregnant. And it wasn't like she was early on in her pregnancy. It was like she was due during the air race. So I kind of went without an air race pilot for that year. So, and there's just been something that's happened every single year.
Yeah.
So I've tried, but it will happen. I'm not writing it off.
But it obviously sounds like it's a team sport, though. Huh? You have to have two people.
Yeah, you typically have two or three people, and you can even have student pilots. Like, there's a lot of the universities will have a team, Dubuque, Embry-Riddle. They'll all include a team as well. And even if you're a student pilot, you can be a navigator as like a third person in the aircraft. You can't be one of the participating pilots, though.
Mm. So, like, you and Keith could be up front, and I could be like a backseat flyer kind of thing? Just to, like,
we'd be lost.
What do you mean?
If you were the navigator, we'd be lost.
I didn't say I'd be the navigator. I'd just be the one in the back seat, trying to keep you guys occupied and awake and that kind of thing. Because it sounds like a long race. If it's over 5 days, you might fall asleep. You might need someone to kind of, talk your ear off so you don't.
We don't need the third wheel. We'd have plenty of things to keep us occupied.
Yes, we would. Greg, the only thing you would do is keep us focused on the airplane. That's it.
Okay. Well, pretty much the definition of a third wheel is what I would be playing in that case.
Yes.
Kind of like what I'm doing right now, it sounds like.
Yes.
But,
yes.
Okay. Fair enough. But it does sound cool. Have you ever done anything like that yourself, Keith, or no?
No, I have not.
Is that on your list to be in a race? Have you kind of wanted to do that, or no?
No, it really hasn't been on my radar as far as something I really wanted to do.
Why not? Well, you say, are you just that boring? I mean, that should be on every person's list, especially a pilot. I would think even if you're not a pilot, that sounds like a lot of fun to me.
Well, I don't know. I think it would be fun, yes. But I guess I've just got so many other things going that just hasn't been like tops on my radar.
Okay. All right. Well, it's not Keith's cup of tea, evidently. But yeah, I think it is for everybody else. And we can follow the progress once again at that website. What is it again, Abington?
AirRaceClassic.org.
Okay. I like it. Now, we got a lot of aviation news we got to delve into. You can hang with us, right, Abington? So we're going to kind of get your female perspective on this. Or just forget female perspective. Just perspective, because she has more skills than me or Keith combined.
Well, I don't know about that, but I'm happy to stay with you guys and give whatever perspective you want.
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on. The Paris Air Show is going on this week, and I don't know if you know this, but jetpacks have finally arrived. Did you hear about this?
Yeah.
You did see this.
And I want one.
We've been waiting.
That would be so cool, I think.
Well, they're here.
So cool.
And they're being, I don't know if they're actually doing demo flights, but they're doing some kind of sim training or something at the Paris Air Show this week.
with they're called Kiwi Jetpacks. Well, Kiwi Jet, I guess it's because it's in New Zealand, or the company just in New Zealand. But they, I don't know, they don't look like the Rocketeer type jetpacks that look as cool as could be. It kind of looks like a, when I'm looking at the picture, it looks like a, I don't know, a cage that you would find, you know, on a helicopter that is evacuating an injured person. And you would stand in this, what are you, a basket kind of thing. And then there's this giant pod on the back of it. Kind of looks like a, it kind of looks like a diving scooter or something. And so it doesn't really have the cool look factor to it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they got to get, I mean, isn't it better to look cool than to have these things work? I mean, isn't that part of the deal when you come out? A jetpack should look like the Rocketeer, shouldn't it?
I think eventually it will, but this isn't a bad start.
Well, yeah, I guess you got to start somewhere. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, like in the movie Tomorrowland, they have these jetpacks in that movie, and they're sweet. This just doesn't have the cool factor. It looks like you're wearing, I don't even know what you'd do. It looks like you're strapped onto a small Honda Civic on your back or something. It just doesn't have the coolness factor quite worked out yet.
I guarantee you take that to your local park and start playing around with it, you're going to be pretty cool.
It would be a chick magnet, is what you're saying. Is that the politically correct term to use?
For me, yes.
Okay. Actually, it's not for anyone. Come on. What's wrong with you? All right, more coming up. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive.
Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations.
Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night.
Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Any of you boys seen an aircraft carrier around here?
Fly by night away from here. Take my life again. Fly by night, goodbye, my dear. Ship is a-coming, I'm a-gosh, you're betraying.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me, along with Captain Keith, and we have Abington from the Abington Watch Company to round out today's crew for you. Look, a lot of aviation news going on. You know, Paris Air Show, air races happening tomorrow that Abington was mentioning earlier. Also this week, actually, there was a, I don't know if it was a press release or something, but evidently, I see this story, and it says the chairman of the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee has announced that he would seek a separation of air traffic control functions from the FAA as part of the ongoing FAA reauthorization process. Now, you may say, okay, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is they would create a separate organization to monitor or control air traffic control, and they would have to come up with a different funding scenario for this new, you could call it a bureaucracy, potentially, maybe. And that funding source could be user fees, which I think the commercial airlines seem to be okay with that. Am I right, Keith, on this? The commercial airliners, they're okay with paying a user fee. It's general aviation, the private pilots like you, me, Abington, that we're not big fans. Or am I off base on that a little? What do you think?
No, that's correct. The big airlines, they don't necessarily see an issue at this particular point. But I will, you can mark my words here that as the pilot shortage increases, they will have to rethink this, because if people are having, I mean, we started the show today with Derek talking about people that can't afford to fly and how they're getting scholarships through their program.
Right.
And go to the opposite end now where airliners cannot get pilots, and how are they going to get them trained if the airlines have to start paying all the user fees through the back door, if you will, by paying for it as somebody gets their private pilot certificate and all the way on through their multi-commercial and their ATP now. That's going to be some huge cost that it's going to cripple aviation in this country, if, in my opinion anyway.
Yeah. Well, it's like a toll system. They're kind of looking at it the same way from what I can see. They're thinking, well, just like we have toll roads, we maybe need to set up a similar type of program for the skies to fund ATC. But
you're absolutely correct in the fact that it's going to be a bureaucracy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Because now they're going to have to find somebody to put somebody in all the control towers to count the landings, to write down who, the end number of the aircraft that did the landing, who did the approach. And so you're going to have somebody who does all this, and now you're going to have a billing department that's going to go ahead and go do all this. So, yeah, it gets really messy really, really quick.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it would basically be another version of the FAA. Just another committee that would be set up. So I don't know. What do you think, Abington? Are we overreacting, or does this sound like a nightmare in the making? What are your thoughts?
Well, I kind of see two sides of the coin here. On one hand, if it does mean user fees, then I definitely agree with Keith.
Not a fan.
I'm not a fan at all. I mean, a lot of people, when we think about exports in the U.S., one of our major exports is pilots. We have so many people come to our country to learn how to fly because it's so inexpensive.
Yeah.
Because their countries have user fees. So we're going to not give them any incentive to send their people over and boost our economy if we just have the same user fees that they have. They'll just train in their country. On the other side, when I get a weather briefing, I call a private company, Lockheed Martin, and I get great service from them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. I kind of see two sides of this coin, but hopefully right now it's just an idea and it ends up getting well thought out of before anything looks to be implemented.
Yeah.
But we're definitely, the nice thing about a pilot community is we are heavily involved with, when it comes to things like this happening in Washington, D.C. and with groups like AOPA. I mean, we're always very well informed because of AOPA and because of the internet. So I'm sure we'll all have our own letters to our congressmen and everything else. We'll give our 2 cents.
Yeah. And I see some of the online chatter about this particular proposal. What the concern is the commercial airlines don't really have a problem with this plan because they think, ATC needs more support or more development to expedite the process, and the FAA has been way too slow to get their programs in place, and so they think there is a need for it. And for them, it might be fairly easy to cover a user fee, that kind of thing. But the commercial airliners have that budget, or they can pass it along to the passengers. General aviation folks, $100 to them ain't no big deal. That's like a fraction of a penny on an airline ticket. $100 to us is another big roadblock. So that's what I see online for some people saying, get ready. The commercial airliners, if they want it, we're not going to really have a voice in this fight. So it'll be interesting how this plays. But I don't know. I mean, fuel taxes are how things like this are funded right now. And I know we've talked about this before, Keith, and I thought we were fairly flush with that program.
No, we really are. I mean, the fuel tax that we pay covers the cost of the air traffic controllers for the general aviation. So they really don't need it. And, you know, I'm with Abington. I do see the other side of the coin, even though I didn't say much about it or anything about it. Privatization of the air traffic controllers, I think, would be a good thing. If you can do it in a way that the government keeps their hands out of it, and you know, you don't go with the huge user fees, because like Abington said, you know, that's why people come from other countries to train here, because the cost is so much greater.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, so I'm curious then, because I just recently heard about this story, but it sounds like you guys have been following it for a little bit longer. For that fuel tax that we pay for air traffic controllers, would that fuel tax not still be used to fund the private company?
You would think, but they'll probably say, well, we got a committee now, and they got to be able to go to, you know, retreats in Fiji, that kind of thing. Just how government
just
works. All right, we'll leave it on that disturbing note. Until next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Way better than Keith.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far, cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.